This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Cruise News, your daily update on everything happening at sea. Visit cruisenews.io to see today's stories and sign up for email alerts.
We are undertaking a fascinating deep dive today into how the cruise industry is really signaling its next big moves. We're looking at ocean, river, all of it.
Exactly. And we're seeing these massive, very targeted investments.
Right. It's not just let's build more ships. We're analyzing major plays in, you know, culinary innovation, strategic market entry, and just sheer fleet dominance. We'll be focusing on Princess Cruises, Trafalgar, and Viking Cruises.
And what's crucial for you to understand is that these are not small changes. I mean, these three stories represent really high-stakes efforts to redefine their product and capture very specific market segments.
So it's a move away from generalized cruising.
It's a move toward hyper-specialized experiences, absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with ocean cruising and Princess Cruises. Their ship, the Sapphire Princess, just completed a two-week dry dock in Portland, Oregon.
And while there were, you know, general refurbishments, the real story, the strategic play, seems to be all about the food and beverage.
It's a very calculated culinary injection. Princess Cruises is taking two of its most popular, highest-rated dining experiences and installing them permanently. It completely changes the ship's value proposition.
So first, we have the Crown Grill Steakhouse. That's a fan favorite, right? It's now in the old Savoy dining room space on Deck 5. Premium aged beef, seafood. People know what they're getting.
A known quantity. But the really interesting development is what replaced the Internet Cafe on Deck 7.
That would be the debut of Makoto Ocean.
Yes. And this is a huge cultural and culinary pivot for them. They're introducing Idomi-style sushi from the celebrated chef Makoto Ukua. This is not your grab-and-go sushi jar.
Oh, Idomi-style. So when we talk about that kind of precision, what are we actually looking at? What makes this different?
Well, the menu is all about detail. You're seeing high-end items like truffle salmons, no-crab tamaki, toro tartare, and the beverage program is just as specialized.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, think craft cocktails like the Genmai Negroni, a Japanese twist on a classic, or the Kodai Nohana, which blends yuzu with Doboroku sake. This level of detail, it speaks to a true luxury experience.
Okay, so here's where the business strategy kicks in. Both Makoto Ocean and the Crown Grill are priced at $60 per person. But the pricing is a major lever here, isn't it?
It absolutely is. This is a perfect example of modern yield management.
Yeah.
Sure, you can buy the meal a la carte, but they're included for guests who buy the Princess Premier package. And that starts November 16, 2025.
Ah, so it's not just about selling a $60 meal.
Not at all. It's about making this premium dining experience an essential part of their top-tier, all-inclusive package. It incentivizes you to upgrade to Premier, which is a much higher-margin product for them. Culinary luxury is the catalyst for a global upsell.
That makes perfect sense. So the immediate product upgrade drives profitability. But let's talk about the long game for the Sapphire Princess. This is a big ship, over 115,000 gross tons, and it's heading into a pretty ambitious schedule.
It's a true global asset. Right after dry dock, it's deployed on these demanding routes, Mexico, then South America, even Antarctica, through late 2025 and early 2026.
And after that?
It shifts dramatically. Mediterranean and Northern Europe for spring and summer 26. Then it repositions to Canada and New England in the autumn. It's relentless.
And all of that globe-trotting is basically setting the stage for a really historic moment in 2027.
That's the strategic target, Japan. In March 2027, Sapphire Princess will reunite with its sister ship, Diamond Princess.
And it's significant that both ships were originally built in Japan, right?
It's very significant. This dual deployment from Tokyo will be Princess Cruise's most expansive Japan season ever. It's running almost year-round, from March through December 2027.
I saw a quote from Sammy Cohen, their VP of Food and Beverage. She was talking about balancing innovation and heritage. It really feels like they're using the ship's refurbishment to anchor their penetration into a huge Asian market.
Precisely. They're leveraging the ship's Japanese heritage, reinforcing that cultural connection, while making sure the onboard product, now featuring high-end edamame sushi, is culturally relevant enough to appeal to everyone, both North American travelers and the local Asian market.
That transition from refining an asset to dominating a market brings us perfectly to our next story. This one is an investment not in ships, but in pure talent.
A very different kind of investment.
Right. We're shifting to river cruising, where Trafalgar, a company known globally for guided land vacations, is making a huge entry into the river cruise industry. They have a new fleet set for a 2028 debut.
This is a textbook strategic invasion. Trafalgar already has the brand. They already have the expertise in crafting these immersive, destination-focused trips.
But river cruising is a whole different ballgame operationally.
It is. And that's why they signaled how serious they are by appointing an industry heavyweight, Damien O'Connor, as their new vice president of River Cruise.
Okay, so tell me about O'Connor. You said he's a veteran, but what in his 20-year background makes Trafalgar bet on him to lead this whole thing from scratch?
It's the sheer range of his experience. It's so diversified. He's had these huge corporate roles at Carnival Corporation, Disney Cruise Line, and Royal Caribbean. He was actually key in launching massive, complex ships like Royal Caribbean's Quantum class.
So he knows how to build the biggest, most advanced ships in the world.
Right. But, and this is crucial, he then moved into the ultra-luxury small ship segment. He delivered Silver Seas bespoke vessels like the Silver Origin and Silver Moon.
So he can do massive technical operations and boutique luxury design.
Exactly. And to top it off, he's now consulting on these super exclusive luxury yacht projects for Mon Hotels and Four Seasons.
Wow. That blend of experience makes him uniquely qualified. But let me challenge this for a second. The European river cruise market is incredibly crowded.
Oh.
How does Trafalgar, a land-based brand, plan to differentiate itself in 2028?
That is the essential question. Their strategy really leverages their existing strength, creating authentic connections.
Yeah.
They're focusing on innovative vessel designs, contemporary luxury, and this is the most important, park-curated, deeply immersive shore excursions.
And O'Connor's job is to make sure the boats actually run smoothly?
Seamlessly. They believe they can transform the river ship from just a floating hotel into a mobile extension of the guided destination experience itself.
So they're not selling a ship vacation. They're selling a specialized high-touch journey that just happens to float.
You've got it. It raises an important point about positioning. When you hire the guy who has built both the largest cruise ships and the most intimate luxury yachts, you are aiming to set a new standard, not just play catch-up.
From culinary strategy and talent, we now move to sheer scale and specialization with Viking Cruises. They just hit a pretty remarkable fleet milestone.
A truly phenomenal marker of growth. After a huge christening ceremony in Basel, Viking Cruises now has a total fleet of 103 vessels, Rivel, Ocean, and Expedition.
103. And Viking Onir was officially named the 100th ship. To get over 100 vessels in just 28 years is incredible.
Especially compared to lines that were founded decades earlier. It's staggering.
And the 9 new river ships they just christened, they cover a massive global footprint.
They do. You see the expansion of their standardized base with 4 new longships, Viking Onar, Viking Dagur, Viking Elder, and Viking Onir. They'll go right onto the core European routes. Rhine, Main, Danube.
That standardization is so key to their efficiency.
It is, but then you see the specialization, which is becoming more and more important for them.
Right.
The added ships for the Seine, the Douro, and even the Mekong.
Mm.
But I think the most fascinating specialization is the addition of 2 purpose-built Nile ships.
The Viking Thoth and Viking Amun. What makes these so special?
They're designed specifically for the Pharaohs and Pyramids itinerary. They're very intimate, high-luxury ships built for just 82 guests.
82. Wow.
That small scale allows for greater access and a much more focused cultural immersion in Egypt. It caters directly to the luxury traveler who demands exclusivity.
And it's that consistency of the Viking design, the Scandinavian look, the square bow, the aquavit terrace, that lets them scale this luxury product so reliably.
And that consistency is directly reflected in their stunning financial efficiency. Viking now operates more total ships than industry giants like Carnival Corporation, which has 94.
And Royal Caribbean Group with 68.
Exactly. Now, yes, Viking's vessels are smaller, but their focus on high-yield segments delivers spectacular returns. They report a return on invested capital ROIC of approximately 40%.
40% ROIC is just a phenomenal figure. That has to position them as one of the most profitable cruise operators out there. How do they do that?
It comes down to asset standardization and high occupancy. Their river longships are essentially modular. They design them efficiently, they build them quickly, and because they're all the same, operating costs are streamlined. Training is consistent, parts are interchangeable.
That efficiency, combined with a premium product, creates that incredible profitability.
It does, and it justifies their aggressive future roadmap.
And that roadmap is extensive. They're targeting 23 more river ships by 2028 and another 10 ocean and expedition ships by 2031. They want a total fleet of 135 vessels.
Absolutely. They're aiming for 112 river ships alone by 2028. This is market dominance through standardization and specialization.
So if we pull back and look at these three stories, Princess Cruises investing in culinary assets, Trafalgar acquiring top talent for market entry, and Viking's relentless, profitable scale, the clear theme is highly targeted, aggressive investment.
And what stands out is that the money is flowing toward experiences that are more intimate, more specialized, and more authentic. We've moved beyond generalized luxury. We now have purpose-built Nile ships, bespoke river fleets, which raises an important question for you, the traveler. Considering this influx of deeply specialized vessels designed for specific destinations, how will this rising standard for immersive, region-specific travel continue to redefine your expectations for both ocean and river cruisers over the next few years?
Something to ponder as you plan your next voyage. Thanks for listening to Cruise News. Visit cruisenews.io to catch up on the latest updates and sign up for free email alerts.